Hello, I'm John Eldridge, and welcome to the Ransomed Heart audio podcast. For more information on Ransomed Heart Ministries, our resources, and events, please visit us online at www.ransomedheart.com.
We're in our fourth segment of a conversation on Christ's view of gender, in God's design in gender, for gender. And last week, we just started delving into one form of our sexual brokenness in the expression of homosexuality. And John, a couple of weeks ago, you just made this comment that has just stuck with me. I've been thinking about it since. And the thought that in this time and age, Jesus would be probably guilty, tried, and hung for committing hate crimes. He would just be so misunderstood and viewed as homophobic and just full of hate and rage.
Yeah, exactly. Or if he was a parent, child abuse.
Yes.
You know, because what's happened in our culture is we've gone from saying, you know, to discipline a child, you know, is appropriate a role of a parent to saying any form of discipline is violent and abusive. You just go, whoa, that is a leap of logic. Not necessarily. You know, I mean, to beat a child, yes. To give a child a timeout, no. I mean, these aren't the same thing. But we're in a culture that wants to say that to draw any sort of gender differences, to draw any sort of sexual differences is in itself a hate-filled act. It is an act of intolerance. I'm saying, no, not according to Jesus. You know, he could be immensely kind toward the woman caught in adultery. And the next moment he says, go and sin no more. He says, I don't condemn you. Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more. That, you know, he's clearly saying to her in her situation, look, your sexuality is broken. It's wrong. It's not God's design. That isn't – he didn't design men and women to move from one sexual partner to another. And therefore – adultery is wrong. You know, it's not just the breaking of a promise. It's the breaking of a design. It's the breaking of a moral code. In the same way, Jesus would say to the homosexual, I love you and I understand everything that you're seeking by way of love, tenderness, affirmation, acceptance, you can find right here in me. Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more. He wouldn't shy away from calling homosexuality a sin. Scriptures are very, very clear on that. They just are. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being dogmatic or anything on that. You know, you just – the scriptures are very clear that homosexuality is outside God's plan for the human race. It's a violation of our design and gender. And if you want, if you'll permit me, a pretty clear example or illustration of this, the feminine body is designed to receive – the male body sexually. Mm-hmm. The feminine sexual organ is designed in its cell structure, its nature, to receive male sexual organ, and the rectum of a man is not. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's an entirely different situation. And in fact, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. The lining of the rectum wall is nothing like the lining of the wall of a woman's femininity, and right there you have this very graphic example of this isn't designed for that. That this is not God's intention. If it was, it would be. You would find them to be equal. And so you find in the universe there's a design to these things. There is a nature to these things. And, you know, we were trying to discuss last time that, you know, all kinds of brokenness enters into our human mm-hmm. situation, whether it's, you know, alcoholism or, you know, predisposition to depression, to violence. There's all kinds of brokenness within the human condition, but we don't want to just turn around and say to those people, that's the way God made you. He made you depressed. He didn't. That's, you know, brokenness is entered into the human race because of the fall of man.
Yeah. There's a way, there's truth, there is life. And despite how we feel about or what we think, there are just some absolutes that stand. And this whole series has been acknowledging those and trying to discover Jesus's view. What are some of the assumptions he makes? What are some of those absolutes that we can clear our thinking and how we evaluate, interpret, and respond to our world. Could you say more about just painting that picture, you know, that we have an encounter of Christ with a rich young ruler, with a woman caught in adultery,
With Peter.
Yeah.
Who betrayed him three times.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the offer, the invitation to those who are struggling with some form of sexual brokenness in their life? What do you see in the Gospels as Christ's posture? Could you fill that in a little bit more?
My favorite passage in Scripture is Isaiah 61. It's the Old Testament precursor to the coming of Christ. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because God, my Father, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That offer of the restoration of human brokenness extends everywhere to anyone who just turns their face toward Christ. It was true of the rich young ruler whose idol was money. It was true of Peter, who denied Jesus three times, you know, the last time to his face. You know, it was true of the woman caught in adultery. What I would say is I would just simply put homosexuality just right there with all those other stories that Jesus would say, I long to restore and to heal you. There was someone in mind that I had in mind when I had you. Mm-hmm. And I know life has dealt you a certain hand, and I know that there are reasons for the way that you feel today, the way you operate. I actually can do more than forgive you. I can restore you. And that's the phenomenal offer of the gospel, is for any form of human brokenness. He's going to say that to the alcoholic as well. He's going to say, look, this isn't how I made you. I don't want you destroying your life or the lives of others because of the way you're living this out. I forgive you, and I can restore you. And it would be both of those things mm-hmm. that we would see as we picture Jesus interacting with a homosexual man or woman. You know, there'd be no condemnation in his eyes.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. There'd be no disgust in his face. Absolutely none. None whatsoever. But just as he handles the rest of us, you know, as he handles me, I mean, he says, hey, John, you got some issues here, pal. You know, he's Jesus is very frank with me on, man, that your selfishness is horrible. You know, your lack of integrity in these three areas is horrible. You know, your sexuality, John, needs some pretty deep healing from your past. And mm-hmm. it does, you know. No different. Compassion, love, understanding, and part of what makes Jesus Jesus as opposed to Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo is at the same time you do see in Jesus this firmness that says, go and sin no more. Please stop destroying your life. Please, please turn to me. Come to me. Let me love you. Let me heal you. And I think for the homosexual is exactly the same as for any of us. Exactly the same. When he says, you know, let me heal you, he's talking about our wounds. He's talking about those things that we've either done to ourselves or that others have done to us physically, emotionally, spiritually, that we have got to experience the healing of God from so that we can be restored to the design of God as human beings.
Hmm. John, as I mentioned before, we have family members who are gay, and I just love them so, and my heart is so broken over their lives. I just want to so encourage them and offer them hope and joy without judgment, without self-righteousness, without condemnation. And the messiest part for me, John, is simply to keep living from the place and reminding myself that what is right, what is absolute, what is true, the best way to live, the best way to relate, isn't always defined by my feelings, by my sympathies. I find myself at times just wanting to hold back from speaking the truth.
Oh, yes.
Because it's almost like I just assume that to speak the truth isn't loving.
Right.
And in this particular area, for some reason, it's so hard because what's at stake are people's relationships and their pursuit of love and happiness and joy, and to to make any kind of stand or to state one's position or to stand up in just a generic conversation and speak of biblical truth in the area of gender and sexuality. There's just so much pressure not to offer that. And we must. We have to. It's what's true. God has spoken. And it ultimately, we have to trust and believe that what he said is the best, is the path of life.
Right.
The path of joy.
Right. It's going to take a lot of courage, and it's going to take an enormous amount of grace to do that in this culture.
Yeah.
To speak up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But gang, I think we're trying to set an example here by these podcasts of we have to. It's not love to let your friend who's had too much to drink take the car keys. It's not. It's not love to let a couple who's, you know, hit a rough spot in their marriage to just go ahead and say, look, let's just end this thing. That's not love. You fight for that marriage. You speak to the issues. You invite them to consider. And so, you know, we're in a world right now where, oh boy, to even intimate that you're not on the, you know, cultural side of some of these issues of gender and homosexuality, but that's love to do so. And if there was ever a time, if there was ever a time to do something in the spirit of Christ, it's around this one. How did John describe Jesus? He said the law came through Moses, right? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Both. Grace and truth. And we've just got to offer this incredible kindness and at the same time not back down for a moment on these issues because, you know, the culture is wrestling with things like homosexual adoption and gay marriage and those sorts of things. And to speak up is important, but to speak up correctly, to speak up in the right spirit, because there's just no place here for anger, rage, hatred. There's no place here for any of that stuff, you know. But in love, yeah, you have to.
Go your way.
And sin no more. Exactly. Exactly. You know, before we say anything more, I actually just want to stop and pray. And I want to pray for a couple of things. Just invite our listeners to pray along with us. Jesus, I need you. I need you when it comes to my convictions about sexuality and gender, issues of the heart, issues of masculinity and femininity. And I need you when it comes to this whole question of homosexuality and same-sex attraction and what it means for the individual and what it means for our culture. Jesus, come into this. Come mm-hmm. into this. Just remove all falsehood. Remove all accusation. Remove all condemnation. Remove all judgment. And each one of us, we need to present our sexuality to Christ wherever we are. You know, all of us need sexual healing. And for those of you who experience same-sex attraction, I invite you to pray along with this part of the prayer as well, which is, Jesus, I give you my sexuality. You designed me as a sexual being. You created me with gender and with sexual desires and longings for intimacy and love and understanding and acceptance. And I invite you into these places in my heart and in my soul. I simply give over to you my sexuality, longing to be cleansed, longing to be made whole, Jesus. And I pray that you would come in your love and in your power, in your captivating goodness, and invade my sexuality. Mm-hmm. I pray that you would restore my sexuality as you designed me to be, whole and healthy and true in every way, in every way. And where there's wounding, where there's confusion, where there's brokenness, where the evil one has gotten in to assault here, Jesus, rescue me. Rescue me sexually. Rescue me emotionally. Rescue me in my search for love in all of these things. Jesus, come. I give my sexual nature and I give my sexual heart and I give my sexual desire, background, experience to you. praying for wholeness, praying for restoration, praying for love, praying for life. Jesus, come, come. In your name we pray. And we all pray.
Yes.
Heterosexual, homosexual, male, female, we all need that restoration. That's just simply true. Gang, we actually have a phenomenal resource on this related to the topics of gender and sexuality. It's a 2-CD set called Men Talking About Women. And what it really is it's men talking about sex and sexuality and sexual brokenness and healing. And there's even prayers there, guided prayers from some of our conference sessions for sexual healing. So I really encourage you to get that CD set. You can get it as a download on our website or order it as a CD. It's called Men Talking About Women. But what it really is it's prayers and guidance for sexual healing of any kind. And we certainly all need that. So thanks for listening in. We hope we've communicated grace and truth, that here is Jesus. Here's what he thinks about on these issues. We hope we've done it in his spirit and certainly hope we've done it in his motives. It was actually the second part in a two-part on homosexuality. It's the fourth installment on kind of a four-part thing on simply gender. I hope you can listen to those other shows as well. For more, join us on our Facebook page or come to the Ransomed Heart website at ransomedheart.com.